In 1995, June, Brother Lee, in his farewell words to the graduating seniors of the full-time training in Anaheim, shared with them eight points that he did not ever want them to forget. I'm not quite sure, but this may have been the last time that he addressed the full-time trainees directly, because he passed nearly 2 years to the day after he gave this special word. He asked the trainees, don't forget eight particular points. The very, very first point I want to tell you this morning, okay? Probably not a bad idea. You know, when I was your age, and when I was sitting where you were sitting, and Brother Lee was up here, everything he said, I wrote down on paper. That's a very, very good habit. Okay, and I quote, never forget the triune God's eternal economy is to produce and build up the body for the consummation of the new Jerusalem as his heart's desire and ultimate goal. One more time. Never forget. Never forget the triune God's eternal economy is to produce and build up the body for the consummation of the new Jerusalem as his heart's desire and his ultimate goal. Amen. Sounds very, very much like the revelation of the mystery. Now, for those of you, and I do see some in this room who were here when Brother Lee was speaking, and remember our brother, okay? I would very, very much like to tell our brother, if he was here with us this morning, Brother Lee, we didn't forget. Amen. We are here. We are here. In fact, spending this whole week, this whole training, seeing what's on God's heart. Building his dwelling place. Building his body. This is why we live. This is why we breathe. This is why we're here. Now, lest you think what we're talking about is some pie in the sky type of thing. Oh, the body of Christ. Who's ever seen the body of Christ? I need to remind you of one fact. First, let me just take a step back. You realize in this line, right, morning session one, the human spirit revealed in Ephesians, Brother Emmanuel touched this yesterday. Every day, we cover another chapter in the book of Ephesians. Yesterday, we were on Ephesians 1. Today, we're on Ephesians 2. Tomorrow, we'll be on Ephesians... very good. Some of you brothers know, I'm actually a high school basketball coach in my free time. Well, that's a misnomer. I have no free time, but anyway. And so basketball coaches, we often communicate by hand signals. So this means, yeah, you're right. Well, what does this mean? Yeah. What does this mean? Yeah, you fouled. You foul. That's illegal. What does this mean? No. Okay. So she's actually committed some fouls. I understand. Okay. No. This means I'm touched. Okay. I can't remember the last time I used that on the basketball. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know. Okay, so we found out during the last training, it's quite revealing, that Ephesians 2, which is the chapter that we're just going to touch on this morning, actually has a sister book in the Old Testament. And that's the entire book of Exodus. It's the entire book of Exodus. Okay. So we all know. How many of you were in the summer training? Can I just see show of hands? Wow, marvelous. So we all know how the book of Genesis ends, right? The training at Genesis, marvelous. When we were in the training, Genesis. I love this book. Well, the book of Genesis ends with what? A person dying, Joseph dying, in a coffin in Egypt. Not the best of endings. The book of Exodus ends how? Huh? Oh, wow. Did you hear this? Say it louder. Wow. Much better than a dead man in a coffin. Okay. After 39 chapters of going through detail by detail how the tabernacle was to be built, eventually, let me read it to you. This is just, it really blows me away. Okay, Exodus 39. Okay, this is the second to the last chapter. Verse 32. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that Jehovah had commanded Moses. So they did. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasp, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the covering of ram skins, the ark of testimony, the table, its utensils, the bread of presence, the pure lampstand, its lamps. He set everything in order, the oil for the light, the golden altar, the anointing oil, the bronze altar, the hangings on the court, the pillars. Who can forget the pillars? Wow. The finely worked garments, even the garments. According to all that Jehovah had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Moses saw all the work, and there it was. They had done it. They had done it. You know, in the meetings, we don't allow T-shirts with inscriptions, but you've all seen this inscription, just do it. Yes, yes. Now you know what that refers to. Exodus 39. Just do it. Just build God's tabernacle. Better yet, how about one day we have T-shirts that say, we did it! Not just do it. We did it! This is why we're here. This is why we're here. So Moses blessed them. And then in the next chapter, right, they gathered all these things according to what Jehovah did, showed Moses. And Moses blessed it because they did it. They followed the directions for a change. Everything was perfect. They got all the pieces together. You know, when you were small and you were building models, I don't know if you ever did that. Maybe the brothers did it more. You line up all the pieces, you get everything ready, and then you put everything together. And then once everything is together, you're like, wow. The next chapter was, wow. They put everything together, all the pieces they put together. And there it was, the tabernacle. The tent of meeting on the earth. For the first time ever, God had a dwelling place on the earth. Exactly according to what he wanted. Exactly according to what he wanted. So don't say, Don't say God has never achieved. God has never achieved his dwelling place on the earth. At least in type. At least in type, it was fulfilled in Exodus 40. Well, okay, this morning, we're touching the reality of that very same thing. Young brothers and sisters, this is why we're here. You cannot leave this week until you see a little bit of this picture of what's on God's heart and how we're involved. And how we're involved. That's pretty much what this message is about. That's pretty much what this message is about. Okay? So with that as an opening word, let's go through the outline with a little bit of pace so we can get through and then maybe have a little response at the end. How about we all read the title together? Okay? We're on page 15 in your book, morning session one, message two. Ready? One, two, three, go. Human spirit revealed in Ephesians, being built into a dwelling place of God in spirit. By the way, young brothers and sisters, if you ever have a question as to what is the main burden of a particular message, okay, the brothers have made it really, really, really easy for us, okay? There's a line at the end of the outline that says, focus. That's the main burden of every message. So if I were you, I would look at that line and get into that line because that's the key that opens up the whole message. How about we read the focus of this message together? We must be where we are the church in reality. Amen. We must be where? Where we are,
the church in reality.
And where the church is,
built up.
Hallelujah. You get this, you got the message. Okay, let's go through these points one by one. Roman numeral one, all together. The function
of man's spirit
created by God. Do you realize how valuable the human spirit is? Do you have such a feeling inside you? I treasure my human spirit. Because it is the part of me that corresponds with God. You have a direct connection to God. It's called your human spirit. That's why we heard yesterday, right? The heavens, the earth, the spirit, in God's eyes. Marvelous, marvelous. What's our human spirit for? It's for us to contact God. Okay, even more, it's for us to receive God. Even more, it's for us to contain God. And even more, it's for us to assimilate God. How valuable our human spirit is. How valuable our human spirit is. Point A. Our spirit is for us to worship God. To worship God is to contact God. John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in
spirit
and
truth.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Point number one, our spirit is for us to worship God. Amen. Worship God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may not realize this so much. Do you realize, you know, the fight, the battle in the universe between our God and his enemy, not so much for human souls. It's not so much for human souls, like many Christians believe. Oh, you need to be saved, otherwise you're going to hell. Not so much for human souls. Do you know what the fight is for? Yeah. Speak it loud. Yes. Yes. The struggle in the universe is for worship. is for worship. Who do you worship? Who do you worship? Very interesting in Luke 4, right? In Luke 4, when the devil was tempting the Lord Jesus, brought him to the wilderness, okay? One of the things he did was he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and their glory. Why? Because it had been given to him. It had been given to Satan in the pre-Adamic age, right? These were all given to the archangel, right? And their glory. That's why they call him the rulers, the ruler of all the kingdoms on the earth, because these were all given to him. So he had the power to give these to anyone that he wanted, to anyone that he wanted. So he showed them to the Lord Jesus in a moment of time. I don't know how you do that, but anyway, in a moment of time, all the kingdoms of the earth, the inhabited earth, and their glory. All these I give to you. I'm the only one that can do that. Because they're mine. Because they were given to me. I'll give all these to you if you would just do one thing. What's that one thing? Worship before me. Worship before me. That's what the struggle is for. What did the Lord say? What did the Lord say? Yes, say it loudly. Loud. Your God and Him only shall you worship. Brothers and sisters, our spirit is for worship. Our spirit is for worship. Our God is longing for this. Our God is longing for this. It's one of the functions of your spirit is to worship God, which we also found out in the training is to have a feast to Him, to enjoy Him, also to serve Him. That's our service, is feasting. Wonderful service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for our human spirit.
Amen.
It's made to worship God.
Amen.
Point B, our spirit is the receiving organ to receive God. Ezekiel 36:26, I will also give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What happens when your heart doesn't turn? We touched this yesterday as well. What happens when your heart doesn't turn? It gets hard, like stone. Like stone. How do you turn something as hard as stone soft again? How do you do that? I don't know. But I know what God's answer is. What's God's answer? I'll give you a new one. A soft one. That's what he did. When we got saved, we got a soft heart and a new spirit to contact Him and to love Him. Praise the Lord for our soft heart.
Amen.
Lord, keep our hearts soft towards You.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our spirit is to receive Him. A soft heart can receive Him. Praise the Lord. Let's stay soft to the Lord all the time.
Amen.
C, our spirit is a place where God stays within us. And so our spirit is a container of God. Our spirit is a container of God. You have something inside you that can contain God. 2 Timothy 4:22, the Lord be with your
spirit.
Grace be with you. Do you know something, young brothers and sisters? You probably all realize this. You have to pay attention to the last words that a person says, because they usually carry a lot of meaning and a lot of feeling and a lot of emotion. Okay, did you realize 2 Timothy 4:22? Is our brother Paul's last written word. Last written word to Timothy, actually. His young brother to Timothy. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
in the midst of all the degradation, the church already on the decline. Young Timothy, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. What a wonderful last word. What was Brother Lee's last word? Yes. Yes. All the full-time trainees know this. Sacrifice. So much meaning. But the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Brothers.
The Lord be with your spirit.
Amen.
Grace be with you.
Amen.
Amen. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
Sisters.
The Lord be with your spirit.
Amen.
Grace be with
you. Amen.
The Lord
be
with your spirit.
Amen.
Grace be with you.
Amen.
The
Lord be with your
spirit.
Grace, amen. How about brothers, you sing, sisters, you respond. Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. Ready? Brothers, go.
The Lord be with your spirit,
grace be with you.
The Lord be with your spirit,
grace be with you.
The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you.
Amen. Just as Brother Lee charged us, never forget what God's eternal economy is to build the body of Christ, which is what we're doing here. Our brother Paul was charging his young charge, Timothy. Right. Never forget, the Lord is with your spirit.
Amen.
Every time you touch your spirit, grace is there.
Amen.
The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
Amen.
What wonderful parting words. Let's not ever forget. Let's not ever forget. Our spirit is a place where God stays. It's where God stays. And our spirit is a container for God. Point D. Our spirit is able to be joined to God as one spirit. The divine spirit and the human spirit become one spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You realize you have something inside of you that absolutely corresponds to God and can be joined to God. You can't be joined to something if you're not the same as that one thing. Do you ever remember growing up? I do. You put in a bottle some water and some oil. You put a little color in the water, and it just looks. And you turn it around, and it just looks like it's a wave on the inside. You know how that works? It works because those two things are separate and they never can be joined. They never can be joined. I used to be mesmerized by that when I was a young child. Wow. Look at it. Those two things can never be joined. What if one day I was just holding that bottle, looking at it, and then all of a sudden, it just became one. The oil and the water just joined to be one. That's impossible, but it's not impossible in our spirit. Hallelujah. We can be joined with God.
Amen.
We can be joined with God.
Amen.
In our spirit.
Amen. It's
marvelous. Marvelous. E. Our spirit is for man to be regenerated by God and to be joined to God, that man may walk and live in an organic union with God to fulfill God's purpose. Praise the Lord. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Hallelujah. Romans 8:4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been regenerated. We've been regenerated. We have the life of God. We don't have to walk by our natural life. We have another life. That's what regeneration means, by the way, for you young
believers, first-time trainees, do you understand what regeneration is? Regeneration is? Okay. It's in addition to your own life, to your natural life, you've received the life of God. Amen. That's what regeneration is. You didn't get replaced. Nobody took away your human life. That would be bad. Okay? But you got another life in addition to your human life. So that now we can live according to that life. According to that life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for regeneration.
Amen.
In our spirit. Do you have an appreciation for your human spirit? Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, how we love our spirit.
Amen.
How we love you dwelling in our spirit.
Amen.
Okay, let's come to point two. All right, which is the main emphasis of this message. The main emphasis of this message. How about we read the bold all together? Go. Ephesians 2:22. Okay, whoever has it by memory, let's recite it together. In whom you also are being built up into a dwelling place of God in spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, so one very, very important point to start out with here is the dwelling place of God, young brothers and sisters, is not a physical dwelling place. It's not a physical dwelling place. Okay, look at point A. The church, the dwelling place of God, is a spiritual house. Therefore, to be the church requires us to be in our
spirit.
Okay, one more time. Requires us to be in our
spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a heart for the Lord. You have a heart for His desire. You have a heart for His dwelling place on the earth. Where does this dwelling place get built? How valuable is your spirit? How valuable is your spirit? You know, this meeting hall, beautiful, wonderful, right? Wonderful. Really, really, we thank the Lord for his provision. I walked here, actually, before I came here, I looked this place up on Google Maps. I couldn't believe on Google Maps it says, the church in Athens, and it points to this building right here. It's on Google Maps. And you walk into this place, and it really looks like a train station. Did you know this thing right here? This is a railroad tie. This all goes to the motif of, you know, train station. Okay. How wonderful this building is, however, it's still not a spiritual building. What we're building is a spiritual building. So we have to be in our spirit in order to build. We'll see in just a minute. We have to be in our spirit to build this building.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, point B. The reality of the church is in our spirit. For the reality of the church is the spirit. And this spirit is in our spirit. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 4:4a, one body and one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for also in one spirit were we all baptized into one body. Hallelujah. Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself witnesses with our spirit that we are the Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reality of the church is in our spirit. Does it seem, young brothers and sisters, that sometimes the church doesn't seem so real to you? We hear about this all the time. We hear older brothers and sisters imploring us to give ourselves for the church, but sometimes it just doesn't seem that real, that practical. Do you know why? Do you know why? Do you know why? You're not in your spirit. You're not in your spirit. The reality of the church is in our spirit. If you want the church to be real to you, you have to get to your spirit. That's where it is. That's where it is. It's not in your mind. It's not in your mind. It's not in your emotions. It's in your spirit. Get to your spirit. Point C. To be in the church in reality is to be in our spirit. If we are not in our spirit, we may be in the church in an outward way, but not in the reality of the church. Let me read that again. If we are not in our spirit, we may be in the church in an outward way, but not be in the reality of the church. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. What a shame, young brothers and sisters. What a shame to call yourself a member of the church, to be in the church physically, to be on a phone list. Okay? But not be in the reality of the church. But not be in the reality of the church. Oh, Lord, we don't want this. That's why we want our spirit. That's why I love my human spirit. In my spirit, I'm in the reality of the church. I really am the body of Christ. I really am part of the dwelling place of God on earth today. How valuable our church, how valuable our spirit is. Psalm 84:5. Okay, let me take a little stop here. One of our favorite psalms. Okay, if you love the dwelling place of God, you must love Psalm 84. Okay, the entire psalm. But Psalm 84:5 says what? Says what? Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. How do you know if you are in the reality of the church? How do you know? Let me give you a really, really practical way. How do you know? All you need to ask is, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? What is in your heart? Is there a highway in your heart? If there is, where's the highway going? Is it going to Zion? Or is it going to some other place? What's in your heart? Is it a car on the highway? What's in your heart? Is it a person in the car on the highway? What's in your heart? Or is a highway to Zion in your heart? You know what Zion is, right? You know Zion, right? That's the peak of Jerusalem. Representative of God's dwelling place, God's dwelling place, all right? What is in your heart? Is it that you love God's dwelling place? You can't get there fast enough. You can't get there fast enough. Is it Exodus 39 and 40, the end of Exodus, see God's house? I don't know. Every time we speak of the house of God, you have to have the hairs on the back of your head just have to stand up. Hallelujah. We're getting closer. We're getting closer to Zion. Is this in your heart? Is this in your heart? If this is in your heart, chances are you are in the reality of the church. If not, that's okay. You still have time to get on. Get on this highway. Get on this highway. That's where we're going. Praise the Lord. Let me just say a real brief word. Don't be condemned. Okay? Don't feel sad. Okay, we open up your heart and it's not a highway to Zion there, it's something else. Okay? In verse 10, okay, of Psalm 84, it tells us something else. It tells us what? that a person who has a heart for the Lord's house, for his dwelling place, would rather dwell one day in the courts of Jehovah than what? Than 1,000 days in the tents of the wicked. Which means what? You still have time. You still have time. Don't waste it. Redeem your time. Redeem your time. If you look at the ratios, it's very interesting. One day in the church life is equal to 1,000 days outside the church life. How long is 1,000 days? It's about 3 years, right? It's about 3 years. Did you ever consider? One day in the church life, equivalent to 3 years out. You can make up a lot of time if you stay in the church life. Serious. Serious. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's redeem our time.
Amen.
Jesus, the longer you stay here, the more the highways to Zion are in your heart.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love where we are.
Amen.
We love your house.
Amen.
Keep us here. Keep us here.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, point D. Okay, this is the point of emphasis in Roman numeral 2. Our spirit is where the building up of the church takes place. Our spirit is where the building up of the church takes place. Okay. Point one. The building up of the church as the fullness of God is the issue of our experience of Christ in our spirit. The building up of the church as the fullness is the issue of our experience of God in our spirit. These verses, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, I think you brothers know. I heard some of you talking yesterday. This is the heart of the heart. The heart of the heart of the divine revelation. Right? Christ making his home in our hearts. Home in our hearts that we could be strong to apprehend the vast dimensions. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, your experience of Christ, your experience of Christ is not just for you. It's not. It's not just for you. It's for the building up of the church. It's for the building up of the body. It's for the person sitting next to you. You enjoy God. You spend time with him in the morning. You get cleansed. You get revived. You touch him. You know who reaps the benefits? You know who reaps the benefits? It's not you. It's the person sitting next to you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is how we build the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay. Two, building is a matter of oneness. As long as we stay outside of the Spirit, we are divided, divisive, and individualistic. But if we stay in the life-giving Spirit, in our Spirit, we keep the oneness of the Spirit for the building up of the body, for the building up of the church as the body. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ephesians 4:3, being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. One body and one spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling. I actually had a lot of feeling regarding this. If you really want to build the body of Christ, you will care for the oneness. You will care for the oneness. You will care for the body. The point here, and it's probably can be developed in a further time, but the point here is body consciousness. Body consciousness. If you have a heart for his body, for his dwelling place, you need to be conscious of the other members of the body. How much do you do things for other members of the body? When you do something, are you conscious? It affects those around you. It affects those around you. Everything that we do, even in the church, affects someone else. Are you conscious of this? Are you conscious of this? If the dwelling place of God is on your heart, you will be. You will be. Praise the Lord for all the members whom we need, and whom we love. Point three. Since the building up of the church is in spirit, our relationships in the church should be in spirit. We should not have natural relationships in the church. Brothers, read point A, please.
There are no direct relationships in the church. All relationships are through the head, Christ.
Sisters, small b, please. Amen. Okay, so we need to make a hard stop here. Oh, Lord Jesus, since the building up of the church is in spirit, our relationships in the church should be in spirit. We should not have natural relationships in the church. Amen. Okay, so you know this line, right, of speaking this station in the training is basically on the experience of life. The experience of life. It's the revelation of the Spirit in the book of Ephesians, but the emphasis is on the experience. Okay, so this is where we bring a little bit of your experience into the building of the body of Christ, the building of the church. There are no direct relationships in the church. All relationships are through the head, Christ. Are through the head, Christ. This sometimes can be a tough one. There are no direct relationships in the church. All your relationships should be through the head, Christ. Through the head, Christ. That's how this body gets built, right? Out from the head, the body grows. Okay, so, you know, as a quote-unquote older serving one, okay, Vern knows what I'm talking about. But as a quote-unquote older serving one, sometimes we get asked a little bit, well, this matter of companionship, this matter of finding a proper wife or a proper husband, how do we do that? If you were to talk to me earlier, younger, you would have heard things such as sharing common interests. You would have heard things such as attraction. Right? You can't spend the rest of your life with somebody if you can't stand the sight of that person. Right? You would have heard things like you have to have some common interests. All right. When you're sitting at a when you're sitting at your dinner table, both of you can't be right. Right? You have to be able to have some communication. Okay? But that's not the point. If you were to ask me now, what's the proper relationship? Who's the proper person for you? I would tell you, I would just ask you, in your relationship, who's the head? When you're with this person, who's the head? That's all. If you can say with all pure conscience, Christ is our head. When I'm with this person, I'm just honoring the head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all we need to say. Hallelujah. There are no direct relationships in the church. All relationships are through the head, Christ. All relationships are through the head, Christ.
Okay? Now, point B, even tougher, even tougher. Natural relationships issue in division, issue in division. Okay, so don't think, young brothers and sisters, that if you've been in the church a long period of time, that even if you are a coworker, okay, that this can't happen to you. That this can't happen to you. Okay, how many of you know the story of our brother Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15? Or how many of you have heard of it? Okay, so couple. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, well, let me just read it to you very, very quickly. It's Acts 15, verses 36 through 39. Now, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return now and visit the brothers in every city in which we announce the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." And Barnabas intended to take John, who is called Mark, along with them also. But Paul did not consider it suitable to take with them this one who withdrew from them in Pamphylia and did not go with them to the work. And there was a sharp contention, so that they separated from each other, and Barnabas, taking Mark along, sailed away to Cyprus. Sharp contention. Now, why is this brought up here? Well, it's because you may not realize this young co-worker, Mark, who's, well, John, but also called Mark, was Barnabas' cousin. So he naturally wanted to take him. Let's take my cousin. Paul said, didn't have the check. Because of Barnabas' natural relationship with this one, there was a sharp contention. So this gives us an appreciation of the seriousness of this in God's eyes. No natural relationships in the church. Okay? Because what happens after this? Don't know if you realize, Barnabas is not mentioned again in the entire divine record. Not mentioned. Mark got recovered. But Barnabas, in God's eyes, gone. Natural relationships issue in division. Relationships that are in the Spirit bring in oneness and building. Brothers and sisters, don't let your natural relationships get in the way of the building of the body. That's quite a serious word. If you check in the footnote, Brother Lee warns all the co-workers, learn this. Don't forget this. Just like he left the word to the full-timers, he also left the word there to the co-workers in the footnote. Learn this lesson. No natural relationships in the building of the church. Everything is through the head, Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was so encouraged yesterday in our small group. We had two brothers. I'm not going to expose them. But they had such a relationship in Christ. They both honored. You could just tell the way they felt. They honored the head in their relationship. They were like talking like husband and wife. Like, wow. I had to tell them, this is really, really good practice for when you do get a husband and a wife. This is marvelous. This is a picture of building. Don't let honey come in, right? The verse Leviticus 2:11.
in the meal offering, right? There's no leaven, right? No sin. But there's also no honey. You can't burn honey. No natural relationships, and there's the reason why. It causes division. But that was a marvelous, marvelous picture. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have young ones. We have trainees who are going on in such a marvelous way, who know each other in spirit, who honor the head. This is the real building in the body of Christ. The real building in the body of Christ.
Okay, the last point. Four, altogether. We need to discern
the soul from the spirit
in order to enter and realize
the building of God's house.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to dividing of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Brothers and sisters, praise the Lord for the word of God.
Amen.
Were you not encouraged last night by Vern sharing? We need to know the word of God.
Amen.
Because it can divide your soul from your spirit.
Amen.
It is our protection.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for our spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Lord be with your spirit. Oh, sorry. The Lord be with your spirit. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. How about we all stand and sing that? Let's not forget this. The Lord be with your spirit.
Grace be with you.
The Lord be with your spirit.
Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. How about a couple of quick prayers with your partner?
Amen.
Amen.